Welcome to CLCC Online. We pray that this message draws you towards Jesus and strengthens your walk with Him. We believe that we were meant to do life in community. If you live in the Fraser Valley area, we would love to get you connected into the family. Find everything you need at clcc.ca. Enjoy. Hey everyone, we're in the midst of our Advent series, The Coming Promise. I love the Christmas season. Now I wonder how many criers we have that when you're watching a movie, you feel the emotions. I've cried in a few movies and one of them will shock you. It was actually the Nativity movie. See, I was watching it alone. I saw baby Jesus being born with Mary and Joseph there and I was overwhelmed with emotion. I actually had to pause the movie. I was feeling the emotions that they would have been feeling in those times. This is the Savior of the world. God, where are you? Maybe they're feeling alone. Maybe they're feeling abandoned. But I was putting myself in their situation and I was feeling all these emotions. See, it wasn't normal circumstances. They were expecting this baby. There's no spare rooms of a relative or a Jewish family in Bethlehem. The Bethlehem is overrun with all these people there. And so they're forced to seek lodging in a stable. And even being a parent now, like we go to the hospital, baby is born, we have the nurses, we have the doctors, we have the internet to search things out if we have any issues. They didn't have the internet. They didn't have all these things. And I was just feeling the emotion of what they would have been feeling. God, did you abandon us? This is the Savior of the world. But God had a different plan. Let's move on to our sermon. Practicing the Way has some really great resources for Advent. And they say this about the intro of Advent. Advent isn't the story about what we can do when we really set our minds to something, nor is it the power of the human spirit to overcome any and every challenge. It's not about the humanity realizing its dire mistakes and collectively repenting in a way worthy of God's healing. Advent is the opposite of these things. It is the story of God interrupting history to love, heal, and save us from our poverty, showing us that we were not strong enough to win the day, but He is. Advent is it reveals the true burning desire of God, His pursuing heart, His plan to meet us exactly where we are. This is the story. Our role is nothing more than to receive the magnitude of this loving invitation and give our yes in response. As we look at our verses today, let that be the overarching theme that we see things through today. A reminder to us that the story of Jesus doesn't just start in the New Testament. Today, we're going to be looking at a prophecy made of him in the book of Numbers in chapter 24. See, Balak, king of Moab, was fearful of Israel's great military might and sought out a diviner who would curse the nation and bring him victory over his enemies. In Numbers 24, the context revolves around the prophet Balaam, who was summoned to curse Israel. However, each time Balaam opened his mouth to utter a curse, God compelled him to speak blessing instead. In the midst of these divine-inspired blessings, Balaam delivers a powerful prophecy about the future. Let's look at Numbers 24:17. To see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel. He will crush the foreheads of Moab, the skulls of all the people of Sheth. Balaam sees this vision of a significant and distant figure. His prophetic words convey a sense of anticipation. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel. This imagery of a star and a scepter is rich with symbolism. The star signifies divine guidance and illumination, while the scepter represents royal authority and kingship. Now let's fast forward to Matthew 2, where we see the one who fulfills this prophecy. In Matthew 2, 1-2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of the king Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him." Herod is greatly disturbed by this. He gathers his chief priests and teachers and asks them where the Messiah is to be born. Bethlehem, of course. He gathers the Magi and finds out when the star first appeared, and then he sends them off to Bethlehem. He wants them to report back to him so that he can come and worship him as well. Let's pick it up in verse 9. After they have heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped in the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. And they opened their treasures and presented him with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country another route. See, for centuries, the scripture would point to a savior who would deliver the world of its bondage of sin and establish God's kingdom on earth. You can imagine then, when this Messiah finally comes in the form of a tiny baby Jesus, born to a young, poor, no-name girl, aka the famous Virgin Mary, people might doubt. Surely this couldn't be the savior the prophet spoke of. Baby Jesus was, after all, in a stable of all places, placed in a feeding trough, and his birth was celebrated by shepherds. These were hardly appropriate accommodations for the King of Kings. Or were they? We're going to see that the Magi brought Jesus three gifts befitting his person and work as the Messiah. And the person and work of this Messiah demands worship by all people. So the Magi came to worship him. What do these gifts signify? Let's pray first. God, we just open ourselves up to you. We pray as we look at your word that you would illuminate things to us, that you would reveal your heart to us. God, we just thank you for sending Jesus, the Messiah. I pray that we'd be able to understand the importance of what these gifts represented as him as our Messiah. And so, God, we just give thanks to you today in your name. Amen. The first gift is gold. We worship him as eternal king. The first gift that they gave is gold. Gold is a gift for a king. When the Queen of Sheba came to see the legend of Solomon for herself, she brought very much gold and precious stones. You can see that in 1 Kings 10:2. Gold has always been a royal gift. This gift links to the Magi's purpose in coming to worship Jesus. We see it in verse 1 and 2 that we read. Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him." These men came to see and worship the king. Gold reminds us that Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The universe is his to rule and reign over with complete sovereignty. By the time the baby who receives this gift of gold has finished his work, it says in Matthew 28:18, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him." Jesus is the king. Jesus is our king. During the Christmas season, you're going to hear one of my favorite Christmas hymns, "O Holy Night." The third verse says this in one of the lines, "Christ is the Lord. O praise his name forever. His power and glory evermore proclaim." There are many versions of this song, but only a few include these lyrics. The other versions go back to the lyrics, "Fall on your knees," from verse 1. Something different is being sung when we sing these words. It isn't just recalling the events of baby Jesus. It is saying that he is Lord. He is King. Praise his name forever. This can make some people feel very uncomfortable. They can sing about baby Jesus, but not Jesus as king. Paul makes this point clear in his first letter to the church of Corinth. In 1 Corinthians 12:3, no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. The celebration of Christ as King is the mission God has sent his Son to accomplish. Delight in the truth that Jesus is our King. Be thankful that the miracle of transformation, and serve him with everything you have. The second gift is frankincense. We worship him as eternal priest. A few years ago, I could have probably said, none of you have frankincense in your house. But with essential oils being in lots of people's homes, many of you probably have some frankincense oil. Frankincense is not a mystery spice that shows up from the East and leaves us scratching our heads. It signifies a significant meaning in the worship of God in the Old Testament. In Exodus 30, 34 to 35, it says this, "Then the Lord said to Moses, take fragrant spices, gum resin, onycha, and galbanum, and pure frankincense, all in equal amounts, and make a fragrant blend of incense, the work of a perfumer. It is to be salted and pure and sacred." The incense was burned before the Lord daily in the tabernacle, and it was added to sacrifices and offerings as a pleasing aroma to the Lord. See, priests in the Old Testament played a significant role in the standing of guard in God's house, making sacrifices for God's people, and instructing them to live under God's blessing. People couldn't just go into the Holy of Holies. They couldn't just go before God with whatever needs or wants that they had. This had to wait till the Day of Atonement, where the priest would go in into the Holy of Holies and make a sacrifice for the whole nation. Frankincense represents Jesus' role as our great priest and our substitutionary sacrifice for our sins. It foreshadows his perfect life and wrath-satisfying death on behalf of us, sinners, before a holy God. Jesus completed all the work the Father gave to him. He became sin who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. And now he is resurrected and ascended to the right hand of God, where he intercedes for us. Jesus is still acting as a pleasing aroma before the Father on our behalf. When we think of this gift of frankincense, we should be thankful that it is not our own efforts that provide our salvation and our good standings before God. It is the work and the perfection of Jesus that makes us acceptable before God. He paid the penalty for our sin. In this strange gift, we get a reminder that the Old Testament covenant is coming to an end, and Jesus fulfills and completes the sacrificial system by laying his own eternal life and perfect life down for us. The third gift is myrrh, worshiping him as our perfect sacrifice. I think it's safe to say that myrrh is not something that we have in our house, even if you have a large collection of frankincense. Myrrh in the Old Testament was an ingredient in a sacred anointing oil of the tabernacle and the priests. Each priest and tool used in this worship in the temple was consecrated, set apart in a ceremony using this oil. In the New Testament, myrrh is closely related to Jesus' death. On the cross, Jesus is offered wine mixed with myrrh in Mark 15:23, which he refused. It has been suggested that myrrh has some anesthetic properties, which means the pain and torment of the cross would have been dulled. Jesus refused this concoction. But isn't that sometimes our tendency? To want to dull the pain, to cover it up with external things. We want something to take away or numb things for a bit, to feel some sort of relief. Jesus, on the other hand, experienced it all. He was fully human and chose not to dull or numb the pain. The other place myrrh shows up is in Jesus' burial. In John 19, it says this, "Nicodemus, also who earlier had come to Jesus by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, and 75 pounds in weight. So they took the body of Jesus and bound him in linen cloth and with the spices. as is the burial custom of the Jews. Myrrh is a gift that reminds us that this baby has been born for a purpose. He is a baby born to die for you and me. The gift given to him at the beginning of his life would be buried with him. The expectation of myrrh was that it would cover up the stench of blood, decay, and death. But rather than stay in that tomb, the body of Jesus was resurrected, the wounds were healed, the stench of death was destroyed and replaced with victory. Only the holes in his hands, his feet, and his side remained as a testimony that he who died lives again. Myrrh points us to the finished work of Christ as our sins are bound with him in the tomb where they remain forevermore. Only the victorious Savior Jesus emerged from that tomb. Our sins were crucified with him and are removed as far as the east is from the west. So what does this mean for us today? You think that since we know this story that we would adjust our expectations. I want to challenge us with a couple thoughts today. I want to challenge with you is worship him in unexpected places. We tend to fill our Christmases with all sorts of expectations. But the biblical pattern teaches us that Jesus is not particularly concerned with our expectations and may even ignore them altogether because he's mainly concerned with our most deepest and desperate needs. See, Jesus didn't come to build a physical kingdom, to conquer or to overthrow nations or governments, even though that would have been some of the expectations of some people. No, he came to establish a spiritual kingdom, one that would change people's hearts. See, we typically don't choose our desperate places, the places of our fears and sins, as places to encounter and worship Jesus, but he does. He knows that we need these places and we need him in them. Our tendency is to ignore or cover up these areas, to spend time and money on things that make us feel happy for brief moments. Jesus wants to meet you in those areas. He wants you to know that your sins can be forgiven. He wants you to know that if you feel hopeless, that there's hope. That if you're feeling alone right now, he is near. Worship him in those unexpected places this season. Second challenge is this: let his love exceed all your expectations. Jesus came into the world at a desperate time in a desperate way. It wasn't the way that people expected him to come. It wasn't for the reasons they expected him to come. He did not come to meet their expectations, but to love them in the way they most desperately needed. For Christ, Christmas is not about tradition, but about salvation. It's not about expectations, but sanctification. Christmas is about love, earthly, gritty, sacrificial love. When Jesus came, he did not come to be served, but to serve those and to give his life as a ransom for many. This was a love that no one expected, a love that exceeded all expectations. And this is the way he comes to you this Christmas, to love you in ways that you most need. That may in fact be the reason why your expectations are not being met. They are not what you really need. Say yes to Jesus today. See, again, as I started, I said this from the beginning. Advent is a story of God interrupting history to love, heal, and save us from our poverty, showing us that we are not strong enough to win the day, but that he is. Advent reveals the true burning desire of God, his pursuing heart, his plan to meet us exactly where we are. Allow God to meet you exactly where you are today. Let's pray. Again, God, we just thank you for baby Jesus. We thank you for sending the Messiah. God, I just pray today that we'd be able to worship you in unexpected places this season, that we would allow you to enter in into those desperate, needed areas, to allow your Holy Spirit to work, allow your Holy Spirit to bring comfort, joy, peace, happiness, that we'd allow your love to exceed our expectations, that we would be able to understand how much you love us this season, God. We love you. Amen.
Thanks for joining us. If you're looking to get connected, we are one church in multiple locations. Our Aldergrove campus meets at Parkside Elementary School Sundays at 10:30 a.m. Our Abbotsford campus has two services each Sunday, 9 a.m. and 10:45 a.m. We would love to see you at one of our in-person gatherings. If you would like to financially support us, you can always give at clcc.ca/give. See you next time.